Today on Farm Talk, I've got three farmers in the first hour, and top of the heap here is Arthur, North Dakota farmer, Kevin Skunas. How are you today, Kevin?
I'm great, Nick. Great to talk to you today.
Thank you. Yes, today I'm going to visit with the past president of the National Corn Growers Association, but I can't introduce you as that, not even as the chairman. That's kind of all old business now.
Yeah, that's for sure. I guess it's just past president will do, or current board member of the North Dakota Corn Growers is fine, too.
Okay, well, we thank you for all the... You've served your time. The ankle shackles are off.
Yes, that's for sure.
All right. Well, up in Arthur, Northwest Cass County, are wheels a-turning wildly, or are you still not quite ready?
Still not quite ready. We've got a couple of fields that in another day or so, but anything that didn't get tilled last fall that's either standing corn stalks or standing soybean stubble is still real wet yet. So we've got a couple of days, let the soil temperatures warm up a little bit. Hopefully Mother Nature will smile on us and not have any rain for a while so we can get going, get some corn in the ground, maybe get some beans in the ground later, a little barley to put in. So we're hoping to be doing a lot of work in the next few weeks.
Good deal. That was my next question. Are there any small grains on the Skunas farm this year? But barley, there is some, huh?
We're gonna plant a quarter of barley. They had a bit of a malting barley contract through the Arthur companies here, so we're going to take a quarter of that and put some in, get a little bit of crop off earlier in the season, and see how that goes.
Excellent. Well, and like you say, no barley, no beer, so thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Corn and beans feed the world, and barley makes it happen.
Yep, and corn fuels the world a lot more now, but man, down 48% from last year. I think the equivalent, if the month of April plays out the whole year, will be, what, 8.9 billion gallons of ethanol. That's a far cry from the 15 we're supposed to have.
Well, that's for sure, and that, you know, equates directly to, you know, the usage of corn, because we know that for a gallon of ethanol, for the ethanol that we use for the 15 billion gallons, we use about 40% gross of the corn crop, but, you know, a third of that gross goes back into dried distillers grains, which is a very high protein animal feed. So at the end of every year, we really only have ground about 26-28% of our corn for ethanol. And this year it'll be a lot less. We know that last year we had pretty much a record crop. We're having a hard time getting rid of that. We know that up in our area, Mick, in the upper north here, that, you know, a lot of our corn was lower test weight. We had a hard time getting rid of it. It is now some of it going to the West Coast. Hopefully our buyers will be taking that, not taking such a steep discount on the lower test weights. But, you know, nationwide, we had such a good crop, and we need to get rid of that some way. We need to find somebody who will buy our corn because we're not grinding as much into ethanol. Now we know that we're having a hard time with the COVID-19, with some of our packers are not being able to be open. I know that the president has said they need to stay open, but, you know, the protein industry is going to be in flux here for a few months, and that doesn't bode well for anybody like us farmers who are growing the feed for those animals that produce protein.
Yeah, I know there has been some euthanizing of the hogs, bound to be some of that. You know, the farrowers, the pregnant sows have been given abortion injections. I mean, all that is just unthinkable just a couple of weeks ago. And now here we are faced with a real dilemma, a weak link in the supply chain. So when this is all said and done, Kevin, I guess some really smart people are going to sit down and say, okay, here's what went wrong. This, what is it, immediate, everything is just, you know, ready to go. Even, you know, ordering parts, there's nothing in stock anymore. We've got no backlog of protein except a little bacon in the freezer. Maybe we need to change that.
Well, that's what, you know, it might come down to. You know, people are probably going to go to their, you know, to their local growers that they know, maybe buy an animal, go to, you know, Castleton Cold Storage in Castle, or go to, you know, meets by John Wayne and Fargo, somebody that they know will process that. Maybe somebody, you know, everybody will put a quarter of beef or a hog in their freezer to have that meat to go on. We know there are people around here that are growing the animals, and we can go right to the farm where we know, you know, that they've been handled right and grown to the right size, and we can maybe buy them. And, you know, that's not going to be cheap, but if we want to have protein in our freezers, maybe that's what some people might have to do.
And I guess it is opportunity for freezer manufacturers, obviously, but also mm-hmm. for folks on farms who maybe want to add to their income a little bit, you know, have a few more, like Grandpa used to have, a little bit of everything.
Sure, you know, if you can sell your neighbor a hog or a cow for, you know, maybe a little bit more than you would have gotten if you'd have taken it to the auction someplace, you know, it's kind of a win-win for everybody. Your neighbor gets some great protein, and somebody else probably gets to slaughter it and cut it up for you and package it. So it's kind of a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, that's the feed side. The ethanol side, that's a different challenge, isn't it?
It certainly is. Well, we know that, you know, with the demand for driving down gasoline, so, you know, fuel supply and everything, the Bakken out west, I mean, when unheard of prices for crude oil. And so if we're not burning as much gasoline, we know that if we have either, you know, 10 or 15 or maybe even the E85, we got to sell gasoline before we can mix the ethanol in with that. So that, you know, obviously drops the ethanol market way down. And so now what do we do with the ethanol? We know that, you know, it was a very small deal, but I know that hand sanitizer is made out of, you know, just straight ethanol. So there was a little bit of that, but of course that wasn't enough to make a difference in our supply. But we just need to get the demand back up for driving. We need to get people out. You know, as soon as the governor, I think the governor's done a great job of handling our state. As soon as he said it's good for us to get back out and do business, you know, get everybody out on the road, do a little traveling, you know, stretch your legs a little bit, and let's burn some gas, help some of these businesses that depend on the energy industry. And as a farmer, I grow corn that I hope will go to the ethanol plant in Castleton, is where we haul ours. And, you know, they're filling up. They're not taking as much, I believe. I've heard through the grapevine that the Hankinson plant is full up, and they're, you know, they don't have an outlet for their ethanol right now, so they're not doing anything down there. At least that's what I heard a while back. I haven't, you know, necessarily heard anything lately, but, you know, we're talking about Poets shutting down a couple of their biggest plants across the U.S. So there's just some dire straits right now. Ag as a whole, economically, is precarious at best. I want everybody out there to know that, you know, we work hard every day to try and produce, you know, cheap, or not cheap, but, you know, safe, inexpensive food for the country and energy. And, you know, we try to do that very hard, but it's getting difficult when you cannot cash flow a crop unless you get a bumper crop with these levels of prices that we have right now for corn, beans, and wheat.
Yeah, but man, a real tip of the hat to Gary and Ryan out there at the Tharaldson Ethanol Plant for staying in business, for continuing to do. They've got a heck of a payroll. They support the schools of Cass County. There's so many things that the ripple effect of the ethanol plants in the economy here, so important. So, and now Monday's crop report, we had, 89%? So that means about 10% of the corn crop still standing. How about around Arthur?
Well, there, you know, there's the corn that got probably harvested in March, and then it was a lull there while everything got really soft. And there's still several fields around. I suppose 10% hits it pretty close. Don't know exactly what the plans are for some of these folks. I haven't talked to the folks who have corn left around us. We have, you know, just about all ours off. We harvested a little bit in March, and the snow was a little too deep in spots. We may be able to get the combine out there again, maybe the middle of the end of May if it's dry enough, and hopefully take off a few of the edges before we till that and try and get soybeans planted on it. But there's amazingly the corn standing out there. That's pretty good. It's still standing well for the most part. So I think guys, as soon as the ground is fit to get in there, they'll get in. course, the corn should be quite a bit drier than it was last fall. But then you have to deal with trying to do two operations at once. You're going to be wanting to either seed your this year's corn or maybe soybeans or wheat. And you have to have somebody out there harvesting along the time. And that makes for quite a stressful spring.
Boy, I guess. We got to get the wives out there involved in that operation because moms are really good at doing more than one thing at a time. Guys kind of challenge sometimes. So,
yep.
Kevin, thank you. Wish you lots of luck. If the fields are drying out and getting ready to be planted or worked, then maybe the fields are getting ready to be harvested too. What another insane spring. Thank you for the visit. We wish you a safe spring and a profitable rest of the year, Kevin.
All right. Thanks, Mick. Appreciate what you do for farming.
Well, and likewise, thank you for all the good you've done with all of the positions you've held and still do on the North Dakota Director on the Corn Growers. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Mick. Bye.
Yep. Bye now.